lot of money in court in Congress.
David?
Ta'atu tetzave yes b'nei Yisrael v'yikhu ilecho shemen zay yizoch kos islamo. So there are several points that need clarification. Number one, very obvious, the stress on Moshe Rabbeinu, even though the Baal HaTurim brings down that this parsha, Moshe's name is not mentioned, but there's a stress on Moshe Rabbeinu, meaning v'ato tetzavi is b'nei Yisrael. You commanded the Yiddish Kinnah. What's the v'ato? It's not. We don't find that lashon anywhere else. So again, according to the Tikkuni Zohar, there's an element of Moshe Rabbeinu's name dafka not being mentioned. But even that, it should just say tetzavi is b'nei Yisrael. What's the v'ato? V'ato is putting the stress on Moshe Rabbeinu himself. Then the next word in the pasuk, the yikhu elecho shem enzayis. This is different than everything we had donated in last parasha. Last parasha just said, the heim yikhu esazor, vesascheles, vesal goman, talking about the gaboim, the collectors of the tzedakah, of the trumah. Not Moshe. Moshe is not involved on that level with the donations coming in. Over here it says, the yikhu elecho shem enzayis. They should bring to you. So this is already the Rishonim asked this kasha. Why in the world are they bringing the oil to Moshe Rabbeinu? Bring it to Beis HaMikdash. If at all, bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. We'll soon see if this should be discussed now, Bechlal, if we have an understanding why this is being discussed now altogether. But if it's going to be discussed now, L'chaira, it shouldn't be brought to Moshe. So the Rishonim bring down here that it's being brought to Moshe, so Moshe should be able to give his approval. Hashgacha. That it's done properly, that the Shemen is proper. This even makes it more complicated. Because you don't need a Pesach like Moshe Rabbeinu to examine the oil. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't work in the local matzah factory. He didn't have a job in the local chemical plant. He wasn't the Mashgiach on the farm for Chol Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was busy with bigger inyanim, which Yisrael already took care of. So what is that even makes it more complex. So Hashem is telling Moshe to tell the men of Yisrael that they should bring oil to him for his supervision. What in the world is going on? I mean, there's a machlokes in the Gemara when exactly we were commanded to do shechita. We commanded in the Midbar or not. It's clearly evident that Klal Yisrael would not bring the behemoths to Moshe Rabbeinu for shechita. You got a shaychet mumcha, takes care of shechita. Shemen ha-mishcha is not such a complicated thing. Yikhu elecho. So it makes it even more complicated. In fact, the Baal HaTurim plays with the words. The ato is the gematria of tof is noshim. It's woman. Because woman, noshim, big gematria is 400. Right? So, Nun Shin Yud Mem is 400. So the Baal HaTurim even plays with the words here. He says, the oil here may not just be referring to oil based on English. It's referring to the Shabbos. Halakos Ner Shabbos, which is given to the woman. So, Va'ata, Titzave, it should have said Tzave. What's Titzave? Va'ata Tof is Noshim. Va'ata Noshim Tzave. Command the woman. So they ask on the Baal HaTurim, then why does it say as B'nai Yisrael? B'nai Yisrael is normally the men, V'loi B'nai Yisrael. So to answer that, you could still say Kivega. Kivega in Mishnayis, in Shabbos, he asks, why does it say, it says, Al Shloisha Dvorim, Noshim Mesis B'shas Leidos. For three things, women, Loyalenu, die, can die potentially during childbirth. It brings down famous Mishnah. Hadlokas Haneo, Nido, and Chala. That's the three things brought down in the Mishnah. So Kivager makes a very interesting observation. The Mishnah says, Al She'ein Zahiris B'Nido, U'B'Chala, U'B'Hadlokas Haneo. Nida doesn't say Tvilas Nida, right? Or Taharas Nida. It just gives it the title of what it is, Nida. When it talks about Challah, it doesn't say Hafroshas Challah. It just says Challah, the mitzvah of Challah. So by Ner, it should say Biner. Why does it say Bahadlokas Aner? Very interesting observation. So the Rabbi Kiva Eger brings down over there in the Mishnah is a Tikune Zoya. Tikune Zoya says that although the women have the mitzvah to light the Ner Shabbos, the man has the mitzvah to prepare it. Fill up the oil, put in the wick, or whatever has to be done to prepare it to that step of Adlokeh. So he says, so Kiva Eger says, that's why the Mishnah says, Al She'ein Zihiris Bahadlokas Aner. If it would have just said Ner, you would think they have to do everything. But the woman don't have to do everything. They just have to do Hadlokas Aner. So according to Kiva Eger, now it's Miyush of the Pasuk. Fa'ato Noshim Tzavei. The women are commanded. But Bnei Yisrael V'yikhu Shem Zayis. Bnei Yisrael are the ones that have to bring the oil. This is all say this in the Pesukim. I'm trying to get Pshat. Pshat is still very difficult to understand why the stress is on Moshe, why the oil should be brought to him. And furthermore, why are we even talking about the oil now? We're dealing now with the construction phase of the Mishkan still. We're not holding yet by the actual Avodah. The way, if you look at the way that it's broken up, Sefer Shmos, the end of Sefer Shmos, is the construction of the Mishkan. And then Sefer Vayikra is the Avodah that was done in the Mishkan and the Beis HaMikdash. Karbonos, Menachos, that's all part of Sefer Vayikra. For some reason, the menorah gets ejected and we start talking about the Avodah, not just the construction of the menorah, but the Avodah of the menorah. Okay? It says, all of a sudden now we're talking about Aaron lighting the menorah. That belongs in Sefer Vayikra. That doesn't belong here. Why are we now in the construction phase talking about lighting the menorah? This doesn't belong here. What's it doing here, Bechal? Furthermore, goes to Bigdei Kohanah. That makes sense because that's in a sense part of the construction phase. Because just like you need a mikdash, you need workers in the Beis HaMikdash. You need it, so you have to set up the Beis HaMikdash. You have to set up the priests to do avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. That all makes sense. But the difficulty is after the kohanim, it says now. Goes in detail with all the Melechus Kehanim, and then it says, that you should make the Mizbeach Akteris. For Siso Mizbeach Akteris. You should make the Mizbeach Akteris. First of all, the Mizbeach Akteris should really be brought down in Parshas Truma, where it talks about the construction of all the Kelim, the Aron, the Shulchan. Everything is brought down over there. For some reason, the Ketores, Mizbeach Ketores, is brought down in this week's parasha. What's so strange why that is? Additionally, besides for telling us about the construction of the Mizbeach Ketores, it also talks about the Ketores itself. You should be makter on it, Ketores. On this Mizbeach, you should put Ketores. What does that have to do with anything? What's that doing over here? Should be makta k'teiros on the mizbeach. That luchera has nothing to do with it. But the Torah puts that in as well. So, on top of these questions, the Das Kanim of Balatosis in Parshas Truma questions the list of requirements, what was needed for the building of the Mishkan. And the Torah lists 13 specific things that they had to bring. Zahav, Chesef, Nechoshes, Chelos, Agomon, Tola, Shoni, Sheish, Izim, All those things are in the construction. Okay? It doesn't bring down, you have to bring chitim, for lachem aponim, right? Or behemoth. That's favoida. This is a list of construction. It's a construction list. Okay? So then it says, Shemen lamoya. What does that have to do with the construction? We're dealing with the construction phase. We're not dealing with the avoida phase. We're dealing with the construction phase. Why shemen lamoya? And then it says, and k'teres ubisomim l'shemen hamishchol k'teres hasam, and bisomim for the k'teres hasam. So this is a question of the Daz Kanim. Why does the construction phase have the... Now this list was very specific. Rashi goes out of his way to say there's 13, there's a whole cheshbon, these specific things that were needed in the Mishkan. Actually, if you count them, you'll see it's 15. But Rashi says, if you look, Rashi's Lashon in Parashas Trumas, kishetadakdek, if you'll analyze it, you'll see it's 13. What does Rashi mean? Because on that long list of 15, there were two that they didn't bring. There was the Atzei Shittim. That already came from Yankif Avinu, from Avram Avinu, the wood that they brought down to Mitzrayim. That wasn't what they brought. And then there was the Tchoshim, which the Yerushalmi says was a special animal, striped, that Hashem brought to the Midbar. So the Jews only had to bring from themselves 13. And that also is a whole cheshbon. Why 13 and the other two not? Because when you build a Mishkan, you have to know, you have to put your own koiches. Otherwise, you can't have a Mishkan. You have to put your own koiches in the Mishkan. But then you have to also know that you have to have Mesorah. You can't just build a new. You have to take the Mesorah of your, from the generations before. That's the Atzei Shittim. That came yet from Avram Avinu. And then you have to know that you still need Siyata Dishmaya. Don't think it's you. That was the Tchoshim. That showed, you know, so when you're building everything, it's incomplete until you know you need Mesoros others, and you need Siyata Dishmaya. But in the list of 13, the precise list of 13, you have two added things that don't make sense, the oil and the besom. So this question is actually asked by the Das Kanim. And Das Kanim gives a general answer. He says that the construction needed shemen, because you needed a shemen amishch to anoint the kelim. So it's also, in a sense, part of the structure. Problem I have with that is that the Torah should have just said, l'shemen amishch. It said, shemen lamor. So therefore, if you look, Das Kanim brings another pshat. He says that it's not the derech for a king not to have an illuminated structure. So that's part of the covered malchus. And then he says, Besamim, which what a Keter is, was also to bring a pleasant aroma. He says, you don't bring the king into the bias until you make it pleasant. That's his idea. So I want to share with you another concept, which also will tie into Parsha Zohar, which is this Parsha. Tell you a concept like this. It says in the Medrash that when it says "Va'atot tzaves b'nei Yisrael v'yikhoi lech Hashem zayis," Yisrael nimshelu l'zeisim. The Jews are compared to oil, to olives. Why? The Medrash goes on to say that's praising the Yidden, just like an olive. You bang it, you press it, it goes through many presses. And the way they used to have in the olden days, when you pressed grapes, there was one major presser, pressed the grapes. When it came to the olives, there were two or three repressings to get the extra oil out. So the Medrash says, the olive looks like it's finished, but yet if you bang it more, you get more oil. Kach Yisrael, says the Medrash, the Jewish people. If we don't do tshuva, Hashem hits us and He hits us again. Finally, we do tshuva. So the obvious question is, that doesn't sound like praise. That sounds like admonishment. saying Klal Yisrael, we don't do tshuva till Hashem hits us. Why is that a praise? It's a fascinating Ksav Sefer. The Ksav Sefer says, if you look at the Gemara in Megillah, Talmidim of Rav Shim Bar Yochai asked him why the Jews were chayiv misa in that generation of Mordechai and Esther. What did they do wrong? So he tells the Talmidim, you tell me. What do you think? So the Talmidim said, well, maybe because they had Anor from Achashverosh's party. So Rebbe tells his Talmidim, in Cain, Bishushen Yaroigu, only the people in the city that went to the party. The rest of the Jews all over the world. What did they do? So the Rebbe answers. And the Rebbe says, Rebbe Yechman Zake says, you know why they were punished? Hishtachvu l'tzelem. Because they bowed down to the tzelem years before the tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. That's why they're punished. Talmidim asked the Rebbe, Chimasi punim yesh b'dom? So why would they forgive it? If they were chayiv misa for bowing down to the Avodah Zarah, why were they forgiven? So the Rebbe answers, Heim lo yosu elul upanim. They didn't really mean it. It was all external. When they bowed down to the Nebuchadnezzar, they weren't really bowing down. In their minds, they just were faking it. The obvious question is, what's Talmidim's question to the Rebbe? The Klai sold it tshuva. Talmidim asked the Rebbe, if they worshipped Avodah Zarah, so how do we get saved on Purim? The Rebbe had to go and answer, well, they didn't really mean it. Why didn't the Rebbe say simple? Tshuva! Never heard of tshuva? The Jews did tshuva. What's the shaila? Why would he think that they wouldn't have a kapala? They did tshuva. That's a kasha. So the Ksav Sefer says a beautiful pshat. He says the truth is that we know that if somebody is forced to do a mitzvah, it still counts. If somebody's forced to give a get, if they're chayav to give a get, it still counts. If Bezdin forces him to give a get. If somebody is not doing a korban, so we'll learn about Bezdin could force him to do a korban. So the Rambam, famous Rambam, explains that the Jew internally is good. The Jew wants to do the right thing. It's just the external. But the Jew, Pepnimius, he wants the right thing. And therefore, even if you push him physically to do it, that's his real self that's coming out. That's Chazal. So that's a Ksav Sefer. That's all good if it's not Avodah Zarah. But Avodah Zarah is an internal problem. It's your belief. It's your whole system. So Talmidim asked the Rebbe, how did the tshuva on Purim work if they worshipped Avodah Zarah? That means internally there was something wrong with them. So the whole idea that Hashem forces us to do tshuva is based on the fact that the internal is good. The Rebbe answered them, even Avodah Zarah was only external. It wasn't internal. If it would have been internal, it wouldn't have worked. But they really, in their hearts, believed. What's the lesson of the oil? The lesson of the oil is that really, that olive that you thought was finished, there's nothing left in it, right? Then you put it through a presser, and oil comes out. What is that, a miracle? Well, that oil was always there. Obviously, that oil was always there. That's not a new thing. That oil was there from the beginning. It looked like there was no oil, says the Medrash, that's the Eden. Even if the Jew looks like there's nothing there, the Jew looks like there's no oil left, even if the Jew looks like there's no oil, there's still oil inside. And that's Hashem could force them to do tshuva. We said that L'chor is saying a negative. It's not a negative. It's saying Hashem could force us to do tshuva and then accept it because internally, that's really who we are. That's what Klal Yisrael are. And we know that there are two kelim in the Mikdash that symbolize Klal Yisrael. One is the menorah. The menorah, Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam, the menorah symbolizes the neshama. And says the Ramchal, that's the emunah, the belief that the Jew really always has. He's believing. And that could be why the menorah was always burning. Ner Tomet, right? Why was the Ner Tomet? The menorah was always burning. Marechas HaTomet wasn't always burning. Put it on every day. But the Ner Maravi was always burning. Why was it always burning? To show that the emuna of the Jew is always there. Even when it looks like it's not there, the Jew is always a maimon. What's the keteris? The keteris is poishe Yisrael. The keteris has mixed into it all the samamonim, including the negative ones, to show that even the poishe Yisrael, even the Jews that have averis, they're also part of Klal Yisrael. And it's a carbon is incomplete without them as well. How is the Beis HaMikdash mechaper? Beis HaMikdash is only mechaper based on the fact that the Yidden have these two elements. We did the Chet of the Egel Azov. Even after we did the Egel Azov, Hashem said, okay, I'm taking them back. After the Chet of the Egel Azov, what's Pshat? Hashem took us back. Hashem took us back and he gave us a Mishkan because internally we were good. That's the Shemen and the Keteris. And that's why the Shemen and the Keteris is part of the construction of the Mishkan. Because it's that which facilitated the ability to have a Mishkan. If not for the Emunah of Klal Yisrael, if not for the fact that Klal Yisrael, even the Poishe Yisrael, inside of them they have belief, then the whole Mishkan couldn't happen. Who was the one who saw that? Moshe Rabbeinu. After the Chet of the Egel Azov, what did Moshe say? Hashem said, the nation is gone. Look at them. They're gone. I'll kill them out. Klal Yisrael will come from you. What does Moshe say? Not Shaykh. Necheni no misifrich. Erase me from the book. Moshe is the one who, even when we were absorbed in the Chet of the Egel, he saw Klal Yisrael b'shlemus. He saw Klal Yisrael as the future. That's the pshat. V'yikho elecho shemen zayis. The Jewish people have to bring the oil to you because Moshe is the one who sees in Klal Yisrael, even in the Chaveres, he sees that level of Tahara. Now, Amalek, since we're over time, Amalek will have to wait, but we'll get back to it. Yeah, sir. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. A little bit coming and going, but Baruch Hashem.